golfj.com.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Golf J podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi alongside Rhett Ticone and Doug Brown here inside the FingerLakes1.com studios in Seneca Falls, New York on Monday, June 27th, 2016, where tonight we'll be talking about the Quicken Loans National, maybe the story of the year on the PGA Tour, Billy Hurley III. Oh, and I don't know if you caught it today, but the PGA Tour released their 2016-17 schedule. We'll tell you all about the changes of venues and sponsorships and dates. We'll also show you what was inside our first short par 4 shipment that Rhett and I subscribed to the short par 4 box, and we got our shipments for June.
Very good stuff.
And we'll check in at Turning Stone right here in upstate New York, where the National Club Professionals Championship is underway. And we'll give you our picks for this week's WGC Bridgestone Golf J trivia question, whole lot more on tap. And last week, you guys were a little under the weather. This week, I'm really in the throes of it. So I apologize to our viewers if, I'm sniffling struggling.
What month is it again? December?
Yeah.
All three of us.
You'll
been,
be okay, Jim.
Nothing worse than a summer cold, right?
2 weeks from now, you'll be better.
So, let's get right to this short par 4 box real quick here to start the show. Rhett, why don't you tell them about it?
Well, short par 4 is basically a subscription service for those of us who like a lot of golf gear but don't necessarily like shopping for it or going and searching for it. And, they've had a little success recently with the products and what they do. So you basically go on their website and you kind of fill out your style. They have a athletic style, a more vibrant style like Ricky Fowler would wear, and then they have the more traditional Freddie Couples type style or Adam Scott, a little more understated. But you can pick from any of those three, or you can say a combination, and they'll take that information. They take your sizes, and then they'll put together a box for you. And
so what did you choose?
So I chose the middle, the athletic, but not the crazy.
I chose everything. Like I didn't.
You
pick
went
one.
All three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went athletic, and then I think I did the other one too, the traditional. So
$45.
$45, and in your first one actually is $35.
There's
a coupon code for your first one, so you get your first box at $35. And then it's a monthly thing. Every 15th of every month, they'll ship you out a new box. And, you get charged once the box ships. And they send you basically this. Essentially, it's three things or two things, depending on what you get. If you get a pair of shoes, I think it's only like two things. I think, Jim, you might have gotten a pair of shoes, didn't you?
I did. They say $100 worth of stuff for $45.
Right,
so what
right.
you're getting is really some of last year's stuff.
Yeah, they have some closeout stuff, but I got a Link Sole shirt.
Well, let me show you. Show them what you guys got. Here's Rhett's box right here.
So I got a nice TaylorMade hat, a Link Sole shirt, and then an Oakley shirt. So two nice shirts and a hat, and they always send you a trinket too from Short Par 4, whether it's a ball mark or a divot repair tool or something along those lines. But everything fit well, and it was a good look. I was happy with the first box, and So it's something we'll keep rolling. What about your box, Jim?
My box looks like this.
All right.
A lot different than your box, right? I got the TaylorMade hat. I'm actually wearing it tonight. Yeah. And, I was pretty pumped to get these Puma shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it fit right? Did it, you have any issues with the fit?
No, they're really comfortable, actually. Yeah. I like them a lot. I can wear those off the golf course. I actually have mine right now.
That's great.
There you go.
Very lightweight. They're the type of shoe that I would have bought myself, for the price of $45.
Yeah, I mean, and they have to use and send some stuff that's, maybe a year or 6 months out model to get those prices to be able to give you that value. But, $100 to $150 worth of stuff for $45 a month is a pretty good deal.
I'm not going to make my determination on the success or if I'm going to continue this till a couple more boxes because – other than the shoes, I'm not really too excited about the TaylorMade hat.
It's all right.
It's never bad to get a hat, I guess. But that TaylorMade divot repair tool is just gigantic. I would never use that.
Tough to fit in the pocket.
Yeah, I would never put that. You know what I might use it is if I'm going out to fix a bunch of ball marks just to be, you know, a good course guy, you know.
Can you go back to Rhett's box for a second?
Sure.
So what happens if Rhett opens this up and doesn't like what he sees?
That's the one caveat and the one kind of, you know, they say you can exchange sizes and whatnot, and they have like a kind of like a trading site where you can actually tell people you have this and I'll, you know, look for that. But they don't take the stuff back. So I think that's the part of it's only $45 as well. Sure. There's others that are out there that are a little, I want to say higher end because the stuff we have is good stuff.
Right.
But like Bogey Box Golf, I think we're going to talk to them down the road a little bit too. They're a little more of a custom fit tailored type of stuff where you're getting the Matt Grays, you're getting Polo, things like that. That
link sole is not a bad thing to get, though.
No, not at all. Right. Absolutely not. You know, we love the link sole, and link sole is great to get. But again, that's a shirt from years gone by.
Right.
If a Bogey Box, if they had a link sole, they would give you one, and you'd be paying the full retail price for it. But you're getting exactly what you want. They preview everything for you, so it's a little different in that regard. If you're good with, you know, getting, you know, taking a chance, it's really kind of, it's like a lottery almost.
That's the thing, though. When you get that box, it's exciting.
Like, yeah.
But if you're disappointed too many months in a row, then you're out.
And I think that's
and you can stop that service
anytime,
with one call or one email, whatever. Yep. And
basically, you just,
my plan was to just go with it for June, July, August, and then probably canceling it for the off season.
Yeah,
because I would assume you don't want a new pair of shoes every month.
No.
Well, that's the thing. I wonder if they will know that they sent me shoes this month. But I wouldn't mind a new pair of shoes if it was a different color. You know,
sure.
But you for a year, you got 12 pairs of shoes.
I think they do. What I was reading on the site is they do kind of figure it out, and they send you different stuff based on what your list is, what they marked down for you the last time. You know, one of the things that I'm hopeful for is like kind of how they show on the website. You know, there's a nice Under Armour piece on there. There's a couple of other nice things. So you want to make sure that you're getting some of that stuff. Right. And if you're not, then it's become something where you might want to discontinue.
So another change question is: let's say you become more of a Ricky Fowler style.
Sure.
Can you change the selection criteria you chose?
Yes, you go into your profile and you can update it if you wanted to go somewhere. You know, and you could do that just to get a different variety of stuff.
Okay.
You know, but the Oakley shirt I got, though, I would consider more in the Ricky Fowler style or Bubba Watson. You know, they're a little louder and a little more with the patterns on it and stuff. So it's different than what I traditionally wear. But I was really happy with the link sole shirt. And, so that's always a bonus.
Short, nice deal.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a good deal either way.
Right.
And so we'll just see if I'm as happy with July's box, which ships on the 15th of the month. So,
right.
And we'll keep you posted here on what we get next month, too.
Yep.
Shortpar4.com. So. And there's other services out, and there's also non-golf related.
Sure.
There's some out there where you pay $150 a month, and they send you a full business casual outfit.
Yeah, I'm a member of Trunk Club, and that's similar to Bogey Box. It's it's more higher end stuff, and you could send all of that back though. They'll take everything back if you don't like anything or if it doesn't fit. And that's what I think Bogey Box does. You try it all on. If it doesn't fit or you don't like it, you send it back, and no charge. So they're all different. Yeah, a lot of them out there.
Well, let's get to the world of the PGA Tour. And Billy Hurley III. Now, you might remember Billy Hurley III as the guy who last season, during a tournament he was in contention for, his father disappeared. Right. He just left home, and nobody could find him for a day or two. And then they finally located him. And then shortly thereafter, his father committed suicide.
Yeah, it was a tough story.
And then Billy Hurley III also served 5 years in the U.S. Navy before resuming his golf career.
Right, yeah, he's like 27, right?
Yeah, and the Quicken Loans National is that's the military. It's right in Washington D.C. They're always honoring the military there. So what a better,
huge
story! You couldn't have written it any better. And he lives in Annapolis, Maryland, served in the U.S. Navy, finished at 17 under par, 3 shots ahead of 53-year-old Vijay Singh, Spain's Jon Rahm, who was making his pro debut, tied for third with Bill Haas, and then Ernie Els finished fourth. So, I mean, this was like
old school, new school.
Yeah, 1994 leaderboard. Right. As a matter of fact, Els won one of his two U.S. Open championships at Congressional in 1997.
Yep.
So. And Billy Hurley actually has a Navy head cover on his three wood that was his father's.
Right.
So I think the situation with his dad was just troubled. I don't think, you know, it's a sad situation all around, but you should have seen the emotion from Billy Hurley's family and friends as he closed that out with the win on 18. And he started the week at 607 in the world rankings and moves up now to 198. Or no, he started at 198 in the FedEx Cup standing. So 607 in the world, that's Tiger Woods territory. And then 198 in the FedEx. But his win came in his 105th PGA Tour start. His best finish previously was fourth place at the 2012 Quicken Loans, so he obviously likes the course, and then the 2014 Greenbrier. With the win,
Masters.
Let me run through everything that he gets in. He's in the WGC Bridgestone this week. He's in the PGA Championship. He's in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He goes to Kapalua for the Tournament of Champions. He's in the Masters and exempt through the 2017-18 season.
Right.
So, you know, if you're looking for a guy to root for, this was definitely a feel-good story, and it was a lot of fun to watch, especially you're always wondering if he's going to – he played very well, but wonder if he's going to hold on. And then on 15, he had a difficult up and down to save a par, chips it in, you know, great scene.
Right.
And from that point on, he pretty much cruised home to the three-stroke victory. So story of the year, you guys think of a better story so far this year?
Yeah, it's way up there. And I mean, the emphasis that Tiger puts on the military for this tournament as well, with his father and the history behind it, couldn't have a better winner.
Yeah, I think the combination of the military plus this guy's father's, the problems he had with his father just a year ago.
Right.
It's hard to beat the story. I'm glad he persevered through that back nine to the final nine and got the win. His life has dramatically changed.
Yeah, no more worries as far as at least earnings and exemptions and trying to retain his card and all that. So
yeah, you don't have the big story of Jordan Spieth heading into the Open with two majors or things. I mean, Dustin's a pretty big story, but Danny Willett was a first time guy. So I mean, there's not that dominant story right now with any of the bigger name guys that would make it bigger than this.
Maybe Adam Scott winning twice in a row was a big story. Jason Day winning at the Players, but
those are expected kind of sometimes.
Yeah, and this is a little more of an under the radar story that, you know, only if you really follow golf closely would you understand how special a win this was.
Yeah.
And to see all of the camaraderie from his fellow players on social media, feel really good for Billy Hurley the Third and his family. And even he had a son, looked like to be about 10 years old, was crying his eyes out along with the rest of the family. So, but he never really got broken up about it. But I guess when you're a military guy, you keep it on the straight and narrow.
You know, he was on the rise a little bit a couple years ago because you said he finished fourth in this tournament about 2012, I think you said.
Yep.
But he was a little bit – you saw his name on the leaderboard a little bit. And then in the last 12 months, really haven't seen much of him, and I'm sure it's because of the family situation and all that. So, because there was a point in time I thought he would have won a couple years ago.
And I was surprised when I saw, when preparing the script, that he was 607 in the world. I would have guessed maybe, high 100s. But
so he had no place in the tour, probably didn't have a spot, right? So he must have either Monday qualified or got a sponsor's exemption.
Right. Now, where's this move? It moves him up a little bit in the Ryder Cup standings, too, doesn't it?
It has to. I don't know if it puts him anywhere close yet. But
this is probably the only points he's got this year, Ryder Cup points, is this weekend. So I think it'd be tough to think he's even in the top 20.
But he definitely moved up, though, in the FedEx Cup, right?
No doubt.
Oh, yeah, he jumps up. Do I have it in here? He started at 198, so... he had to jump up quite a bit, probably into the top 100. A win will do that for you.
I think I heard he moved up 400 spots in the world rankings with his win.
That works.
Well, you should. If you win a PGA Tour event, then you're definitely one of the top 200 players in the world at that moment. Yes. I don't care what event it is or how much you like the course.
Right.
But pretty cool to see Vijay Singh and Ernie Els out there contending. I mean, it was pretty weird type of event. And Congressional is... major quality course, so it's definitely not a fluke win.
No.
But I was actually surprised to, you got Vijay and Ernie Els. Where are all the other top players, on the leaderboard?
Right.
So, like John Rahm in his first PGA Tour start as a pro, it was his sixth start in a tour event. It was his third top 10 in those six starts. He twice finished in the top 10 of a tour event while still an amateur, tied for fifth at the 2015 Phoenix Open, tied for 10th at the 2015 OHL Classic at Mayakoba, and he also finished tied for 23rd at Oakmont at the U.S. Open during low amateur honors. So if you don't think that this Rahm guy is here to stay,
yeah.
I mean, that's impressive. And then in his pro debut, he gets a top five finish, and he was rimming out putt after putt.
He came out of the gates with 64.
Right.
I mean,
first round as a pro.
He could easily win this event.
Low am at the U.S. Open a week before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, props to him. He's a competitor.
Yep.
Big, strong guy.
Yeah.
Pretty short swing, but hits it a long ways.
Yeah. Bryson's got some competition for that.
Well, we were talking about that before the show started. Yeah. DeChambeau's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit the past few events. So.
Absolutely.
Billy Hurley III had a TaylorMade driver, 9.5 degrees, an M1 driver, 3-wood TaylorMade M2 at 15 degrees. And this is where it might be a little bit different. He carries Bridgestone J40 irons, 5 through 9, and then he has hybrids. He has a TaylorMade SLDR, 19 degrees and 21 degrees, and then also an Adams Pro Mini Hybrid at 23 degrees. So he carries three hybrids as opposed to a 3 or 4 iron,
which
is a little odd, I think, on the tour. And then he carries, I thought this was a little odd too, he's got a Titleist Vokey design SM6 48 degree wedge, which probably takes the place of his pitching wedge because he's got 5 through 9 irons. But then he goes to Cleveland 588 RTX 54 degrees and a Cleveland 588 Custom 60 degrees. So he's got a Vokey wedge and two Cleveland wedges. He's got, an Adams hybrid. He's kind of like us in terms of
tasting it all.
Yeah, well, whatever, you mix and match your bag. And then he's got a TaylorMade Spider Limited putter, plays the Bridgestone B330S ball. So,
I bet he's getting some phone calls right now to tidy up that golf bag.
Yeah, no doubt.
From one supplier. Maybe not for this year, but I would bet the agent got a call or two.
And maybe a sponsorship from the military. We've seen them do that before, maybe not necessarily.
Something on his bag, maybe.
Yeah, where am I remembering seeing that before?
Yeah, somebody, I think one or two of them have had, like, Navy or Army on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely, you're not thinking things up. I think you're right on that.
So, across the pond this week, I just thought it was worth mentioning that Henrik Stenson, 2013 FedEx Cup champ, he won the European Tour's BMW International Open, and it was his first victory since winning the European Tour season finale in November of 2014. So here's a guy who's always at the top of the leaderboard, no matter what tournament he plays in, except for Oakmont last week.
Right.
He hadn't won in 3 years. Right. So that's big
crazy.
Win for him.
He was towards the top of the FedEx Cup last year with no wins.
Yeah, with no wins. And then won the FedEx in 2013.
Right.
So, whether that will propel him into winning one of the final season's two majors, we'll have to wait and see. He won't be playing in the Bridgestone this week, though, which is odd. There's a few European players that won't be, and we'll give our picks for the Bridgestone at Firestone Country Club later in the show, but McIlroy's another one who's not in there.
Yeah.
So,
so Stenson had an interesting comeback then, because in the Open, he was 1 under par after the first 18, and then shot sky high on the second 17 because he didn't come back to finish the last hole.
Yeah,
Saturday morning he took off.
He was done.
So he got a DNF, did not finish, and then he flies across the pond and wins.
Do you blame a guy for not coming back when you know you're going to miss the cut and taking that WD?
It's tough because you got to get up and play one hole.
Yeah,
at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Instead of flying back to play in the BMW on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean.
So overall, I don't. I just think it looks awful. But
he
was nowhere near the cut line.
I wonder if he would have been more apt to stay if it was a PGA Tour event as opposed to a USGA event like the Open.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe we can get him on the show. So, of course, the Quicken Loans, Tiger's big tournament. A lot of people speculated that Tiger would be returning by now. But he sat in on CBS's coverage team for a little while on Sunday, and he was noncommittal again. He didn't – he wouldn't say that he would definitely be back in 2016, which, I mean, how much rehab time do you need? What's going on here, guys?
My concern here now is, as far as the comeback goes, we're getting to the final couple of majors are coming up. It's going to go fast, right? We got the British Open, the PGA, the Olympics, and then the FedEx Cup, Ryder Cup, FedEx Cup. If he's not back for those, he won't play in that fall series,
right,
which is a mistake. He needs to play golf.
Right.
So I think let's say if he was ready by the end of September, he's not going to come back until January. And I think it's a mistake. He needs to play in that fries.com, endear himself to the fans.
Yeah.
Because he's lost connection with everybody. Don't consider those tournaments small or also rans or whatever. You're not going to be in the FedEx Cup because you don't have the points. Ryder Cup isn't going to happen, but you can still play golf.
He'll be there as a captain, though, assistant captain.
Right.
So, understand that.
But not as a player, right, obviously. So then your next opportunity, like you say, Brownie, is to tee it up in the fall, start.
I think he was scheduled to play a little bit last year until he went into September again with the surgery.
Right, because he had those back-to-back surgeries.
Yeah, so I think if he's ready to go, because he talked about it today or talked about it yesterday about being in golf shape and, he's just now starting to put two rounds back-to-back that he can actually, be pain-free.
I can't believe that, though. Man. I can't believe it. He talked about in that interview about he's quicker, he's stronger, he feels good, but he's not in golf shape yet. What kind of golf shape are you talking about? Usually when I think about getting in golf shape, if I'm physically okay, I'm thinking more mentally just getting into golf shape. But he's talking about physically getting into golf shape. And, you look at guys like Vijay Singh.
53 years old.
And I was also, I think Tiger was rooting against Vijay subconsciously because they were huge rivals.
Yes, they were.
And I don't think that Tiger wanted to hand Vijay that trophy.
Right.
So, I don't know. Anytime Tiger is, on the scene, it's definitely interesting.
I'm a big Tiger fan, as you know.
Yep.
I struggle with this comment, too, about being, I play 18 holes and I'm tired. But you're right. I'm working out. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I don't know. The only way to get in golf shape is play golf.
I agree there, but I think he's not scared but nervous. I mean, it's been three surgeries, two on the exact same thing.
Right.
I think he's just being ultra cautious.
He didn't say that.
I can't play until October.
He did say that he came back too quick before, so he doesn't want to come back too quickly now. But, man, it can't take that long. It can't.
Love him or hate him.
Or if it does, say so.
Yeah.
My doctor says I'm out until November or October or January. Get it over with. He keeps dangling the carrot, basically, and I keep waiting for the return.
Yeah.
Okay, because golf could use him. I'm not sure if they need him, but they could use him.
That's the thing. They could use him. Right. He definitely would help stir things up. He's always a good story, no matter if, like I said, love him or hate him. He's good to have around.
Right. And I will say this. I don't think that he would make a very good commentator in the booth. When the play was going on, it was terrible commentary, I thought.
Yeah. No.
Whereas, Nicklaus, when he's in the booth at Muirfield and stuff, that's really interesting. I can't wait to hear what he says about the different players.
Right.
Tiger is just kind of really vanilla.
Right. Maybe someday Fox will hire him as a commentator.
Jeez. Can't get any worse.
Well, you think anybody would give him a shot, but I think it would be a mistake. I don't think that's a line of work that he's necessarily cut out to, because he's never been strong on opinions.
I agree.
He's always held things close to the vest. So
I guess.
He just does this 5-minute interview about the benefit of the event.
Yep.
And then he needs to get off the air.
Yeah.
Hand the trophy out later on.
Jack's a little more candid when he's on his at Muirfield or
I love
Memorial.
That.
Jack's really good in the studio, but I don't think Tiger's really going to be interested in doing any broadcasts when he's done it either.
I don't think so either. He's
going to disappear, I think.
Unless there's a different side of him that we don't see. He's so guarded.
Yeah,
definitely.
Always has been.
Yeah, he probably doesn't enjoy even that appearance, especially in this situation where everybody just wants him to say, I'll be back in October.
Yeah.
Or, I'll be back at this tournament. So,
do you think he's coming back?
I would find it – I agree that he will not be back in this season, this PGA Tour season, but I would really be surprised if he does not try to make some type of appearance in the fall finish. But that's risky because those are lesser fields. And if he misses the cut in one or two of those in a row, you know, Tiger, he might disappear with his flared up glute or something. I know. He might be gone for another year.
I think he's going to come back at his tournament. It's not the Chevron anymore, but.
Oh, the one in the fall?
Yeah, there's 16 guys. There's no
unofficial
cut.
Event.
Yeah, there's no cut. It's his, all his buddies. I think that's where he comes back. And then he goes and gets into it after that.
I really would like to see him play in some of those smaller events, even during the season, the John Deere Classic or the St. Jude's. Whatever, all of those events where he needs to get off his high horse and stop being the guy that he thinks he is.
Some people have said that go to the web.com tour and play a couple events there because any tournament would take him.
Sure they would.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, again, the quality of play on the web.com tour is not that big a drop down from the PGA Tour. As Ali Schneider Jans won this week on the web.com tour, so he'd be setting himself up for even more scrutiny when he goes to the web.com and doesn't make the cut, you know, or does anything less than win.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we'll see him in the fall, and I think he'll come back with low expectations. I think he'll even warn people, like, look, I'm just trying to get back into golf shape here.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah, get out and play a couple tournaments. I'm going to say, look, I'm probably not going to win this week. I just got to get back out there.
I mean, how many athletes do you see come off the disabled list? Some pitcher comes off the disabled list, and he struggles when he comes off of the he becomes active again. He struggles.
Yeah, well, they'll start him out in the minor leagues, and he might struggle there a little bit. Right. But, golf's a little different. Like you said, if you go to the minor leagues to rehab in golf, you're playing against some really good competition. So, okay.
Well, there's some good tournaments coming up, that's for sure.
Right. Hey, just in time for the show today, the PGA Tour announced their schedule for next season. And let me just run through some of the changes here. 47 FedEx Cup tournaments, several of which returned to their traditional pre-Olympic dates as the whole schedule got shuffled around this year because of the Olympics. Let's start with the majors. The U.S. Open will be held at Erin Hills in Hartford, Wisconsin. First time the U.S. Open has been to Wisconsin, June 15th through 18th. The Open Championship scheduled for July 20th and 23rd at Royal Birkdale in England, and then the PGA Championship returns to its August date. This year it'll be the end of July, August 10th through 13th at Quail Hollow. So we all knew that.
Right.
The Travelers, the John Deere, the Bridgestone, the Barracuda, they all return to their original non-Olympic year slots. FedEx Cup changes. The first event of the FedEx tournament has a new sponsor. It's going to be called the Northern Trust on August 24th and 27th, 2018. Or 17, excuse me. Also a new course. They'll be playing at Glen Oaks Club in Old Westbury, New York. And then the BMW Championship, which is the second to last tournament, the one before the Tour Championship at Eastlake, is September 14th through 17th at Conway Farms Golf Club near Chicago. It's returning. That's where it was last. They're rotating that one a little bit. It's been at Cog Hill before, but this will be the second straight year. It's at Conway Farms. The season opener next year, new sponsor, it's going to be called the Safeway Open, not the fries.com anymore. So they're calling it the Safeway Open. It's going to be October 13th through 16th. So here you have the season will end on the last weekend in September. Then they'll play the President's Cup, which will be held at Liberty National Golf Club in Jersey City. And then they come back 1 or maybe 2 weeks later for the new season. So that'll still be at Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa, California. Some other changes here, and I'll save the big one for last so we can discuss it. Wells Fargo Championship relocating just for next year to Eagle Point Golf Club in Wilmington, North Carolina, because normally that tournament's held at Quail Hollow. They're hosting the PGA Championship, so just a one-year change there. The Players Championship returns for another Mother's Day Sunday finish on May 14th. And the reason I mention that is they're going to be coming back with totally resurfaced greens, including some contour changes, and they are redesigning the drivable par 4 12th hole at Sawgrass. The Quicken Loans National will be held for the first time at the TPC Potomac at Avenel Farm on June 29th and through July 2nd, so that won't be at Congressional. And then So Long Doral. This is the controversial change.
That's a shame.
The relocation and renaming of the World Golf Championships Mexico Championship, March 2nd through 5th, which moves for, which I like having a big WGC event, you know, when it's still kind of unable for us to golf. Yeah. Those are the ones I can, you know, that time of year you sit down and you watch them all because you can't go outside up here. So they moved from South Florida to Mexico City, a new 7-year sponsorship agreement with Grupo Salinas, and the host facility has yet to be named.
That one bothers me a little bit, not because of the connections with Trump and the PGA or anything like that, but, you know, being down in South Florida for so long, I looked forward to that tournament and going to that thing every year, and that was, you know, with Tiger and Phil battling it out, and just great tournaments. Freddie, I remember Freddie down there, you know, he played a lot in it, and, you know, the community down there really got behind it, and it was just, you know, it was there forever. So it's really a shame that that's, you know, these differences of opinion, so to speak, have gotten in the way of a great tournament and a great venue more than anything. That is a beast of a course.
And it's been a PGA staple forever. So, you know, I mean, it's just like that, it's gone.
Just to throw
it's
out there.
It's a tradition that's lost.
Yeah, totally. And it's just, it's a shame. That one is a shame. You know, I really didn't like it too much when it went to a WGC. I liked that WGC in that time frame, but another course. I loved it when it was the Ford and when it was just, you know, the Doral Ryder Open. I mean,
it was big enough. It had a big enough field as it is by itself.
And the field was, so good. So good for so many years. So I'm really disappointed. I was bummed out when I heard the news that was moving.
It was always
there.
The first Florida event.
Yeah, exactly.
They actually worked their way up
swing,
the state.
They went there, then the Honda, and then they, you know, eventually got to the Players because the Players used to be in March. So it was a great month of golf in Florida, and it was, you know, that was the boss of the of that swing. So
if you look at the winners of that event, I mean, it's all the big names. You got Raymond Floyd, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods. Absolutely. They've all won that event.
So. And a course that we know, you know. Going there, they're going to be playing in Mexico. It's tough to relate.
I remember I was on the 18th hole when Craig Perry holed out. To win that, it was just a slam dunk, game over. That was an unbelievable shot, and that place went nuts. And it was just the atmosphere was great there, and you could walk around, and it was an easy course to get around to be able to get to dip multiple holes and see a lot of the golf. And it was the first professional tournament I ever went to, and I just couldn't believe how far those guys hit it. And that was when they were hitting it with persimmon still. DL3 was just killing the ball, and Freddie was hitting that boom boom links parallax driver. John Daly had the whale. I mean, it was just a lot of good memories from that place. So I'm going to miss that for sure.
So I'm afraid they'll never go back to Doral as far as we can see.
Yeah.
Could it be a potential U.S. Open host? Probably not. It's not that style, but U.S. Open has to go to Florida maybe once in a while, right?
If you played down there in June and you want to try a golf course up.
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
I'm sure you could do that.
But I think the ownership – it has something to do with that.
Yeah, it's going
to
keep everybody away.
The ownership doesn't change down the road. That's probably going to be it for Doral, which is a shame.
I'm afraid so.
Because he did a lot of nice things to it, you know, giving him credit for some of the improvements he made to the course in the last few years, which were met with pretty good response. So it's really a shame.
Yeah. So there it is, your 2016-17 PGA Tour schedule released, and they got to do it when the season starts in October now. So they got to get that out. Yeah. So it's out today.
It's out, and we're rolling along with the current season.
So I have a little something different for the trivia question this week. Get your Twitter handle ready and tweet your answer to @TheGolfJ. First to tweet us the answer will win a Golf J hat. And I just never knew this myself, and I came across it. I said, this has got to be the trivia question this week. So Arnold Palmer, 7-time major champ. Surprisingly, has not won the career Grand Slam. You would assume he had, right? One of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Which major championship did he never win? And we'll have your answer at the end of the show when one of you guys remind me before I sign off. So, all right, moving on. Give a golf tip. And I'm a 6 handicap. I'm in no position to give golf tips, like swing tips, you know what I mean? But certain things happen to me when I play around to golf, usually on the mental side that I like to share. So it's less of a tip and more of just a discussion or something that maybe, you know, I can share with our listeners that they might be able to use. And this happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was on the 11th hole at Seneca Falls Country Club, dogleg right, and I had come up short and faced a big pine tree I was in the right rough short of the turn, and I had a big pine tree blocking the pin. It was a right pin, and so I needed to play about a 5 or 6 yard cut shot, okay? And normally, let's say I'm sitting, a lot of times I like to hit cut shots with my irons from the middle of the fairway with no obstructions. But usually, when I do that, I tend to not go with that play because my two misses are either a push right or a pull. And sometimes I'll even turn the toe over and I'm trying to play a cut and I'll actually hook it left. So the two misses are so extreme that a lot of times I try not to do that. So anyways, I'm sitting there in 11 and now I have this tree blocking the pin from my line of sight, and I knew that I needed, number one, not pushing into the tree or it would be a disaster. And if you know the 11th hole, I also couldn't pull hook that thing right. Left. So with that tree in my sight, it really helped me line up to play that cut shot, and I hit a beautiful 9-iron to about 5 feet. So then I was sitting in the fairway a couple days later, and I just where the pin was, it was setting up for a nice cut shot. And I decided I was going to play that cut shot, and I remembered the shot I hit on 11. And what I did was I imagined a pine tree in my way so I could shape that shot around it, and I hit another good shot. So I guess the tip is, imagine a pine tree when you're in the middle of the fairway. But just to recreate that nice swing that I had on the 11th hole, I really envisioned, just a tree forcing me to cut it as close as I could to that tree, but not push it, and then just naturally that soft cut shot. So I don't know. You guys ever play tricks out there with yourself like that?
Absolutely. So you're just visualizing the shot.
Yeah. Yeah,
it helps in a sense, right? But right. You had a better visualization because of the tree that you learned from previously.
And I think it made me, it just made me concentrate on balance, swing plane, and the how open the club face was, because normally when you're in the middle of the fairway, you're a little looser, but on that one shot that I had on 11 with a pine tree in my way, there was less margin for error. So if I treat that shot in the fairway with that same restriction, I guess, even though it's not really there, that precision that I needed. So I kind of like that. When I need to play a little 5-6 yard cut, I am going to imagine – and maybe not even a pine tree, but maybe just a wall, But it helped me with alignment, and it helps me hit that little cut shot. I've used it several times since then with success.
So another takeaway is you concentrated a lot on that shot.
That might be it.
Compared to the shot from the middle of the fairway from 100 yards, and you just go through it and you hit it, and maybe you go left or right. With that tree in front of you, you worked hard.
Because it could have been a disaster.
Right. So the takeaway could be, let's concentrate at that level.
On every shot.
On every shot.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Whether there's a tree in front of you or not, or you want to imagine there's a tree in front of you or not. I'm guilty of it. Get the club out of the bag. I got 100 yards. Hit it.
Yeah.
Next thing you're in a bunker. But how come when you got downhill, side hill, creek in front of you, and a tree branch hanging over, and you can thread that thing right through that opening, right. How come?
Because you're forced, like you said, you're forced to bear down on it because you know it's difficult. So
you visualize the shot because you can see the ball going through the opening.
Right.
And you pay more attention to your body position, club face, et cetera.
That's true, too. It was easier. I had to visualize the shot with the pine tree in my way, whereas if I had a 130-yard shot from the middle of the fairway, you tend to skip right past the visualization.
Sure.
I don't usually ever have to visualize because I am in the trees and having to keep it under the branch that's already there. So, but seriously, those on that same thing, if you are, where there's some hazards in your way, then you tend to concentrate more, and you got a small window to hit it through. You really do bear down, and usually the end result is better.
How many times you hit a good shot when you're in trouble compared to on a level lie on a tee?
Right.
The ball's not moving. It's level.
Yeah.
And you hit a better shot from trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because of the level of concentration.
Yep. Grinding.
And focus. And maybe even perhaps less expectations for the results.
True.
Because you're in trouble, so you just want to get out of trouble. So then when you actually hit a quality shot and you end up with a birdie putt or something, it was unexpected. But
That's really a lot of what separates the pros from each other, not just the pros from the amateurs, but pros from each other. You know, how mentally tough are some of these guys? And some of them definitely you can tell are, I mean, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, guys like that are much more mentally prepared and ready. They put so much effort into that part of it, you know, with the not the swing coaches, but the you know, psychologists and all that stuff.
They're concentrated at different levels. They get up on a tee and they want to be on the left side of the fairway.
Right.
They're focusing on a 5-foot circle. Let's exaggerate on the left side. We get up on a tee, we want the ball in the fairway.
Right.
Okay, and that's 30 or 40 yards wide. That's a whole different perspective.
No question.
So, but I think we get a little bit closer to that level when we're in trouble.
Well, we all want to play better, and we all want to, you know, I guess the ultimate goal would be a scratch golfer, but you know, we're also out there recreationally with our buddies on a nice night, so it is hard to constantly be in that zone. And I found that I've played some of my best rounds of golf when I've been in a tournament where you want to be focused the entire time. And I've also, you know, blown up in that situation a lot of times too, but yeah, it's I guess the trick is, and you know, I've read this in Zen Golf, and I've heard it from a lot of different people, is that you need that pre-shot routine.
Yeah.
So when you, you know, you are joking around, having a good time, enjoying your time on the golf course on a nice night, but when you start that pre-shot routine, that gets you into that level of focus that you need to hit the shot. Then after you hit it, you can relax a little bit and then wait till the next shot. But, hey, I don't know. Maybe you guys come up with a tip next week. I'm going to charge you guys for the next 2 weeks. I want you guys bringing the tip. You talk amongst yourself who will be next week, who will be the next week after. But maybe some of our listeners are getting a little too zenned out by my tips.
I'm going to go back to my red book.
There you go.
I'll find one.
So, all right, let's kick it back now to the PGA Tour because we got a great tournament this week, the WGC Bridgestone at Firestone Country Club. Let me tell you a little bit about it. 7,400 yards, par 70, $9.5 million purse. Past winners, 2015, Shane Lowry, really a breakthrough win for him. And this is really a tournament that produces great champs. 2014, Rory McIlroy, 2013, Tiger, 2012, Keegan Bradley, he's a major champ. 2011, Adam Scott. It'll be on TV Thursday through Friday. 1:30 to 6:30 p.m. on the Golf Channel, then Saturday, Sunday, noon to 1:30 on the Golf Channel, followed by CBS's coverage 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock or beyond. Newly crowned U.S. Open champ Dustin Johnson and world number one Jason Day headline a small list of 59 qualifiers, of which Billy Hurley III is one. The field features just 40 of the top 50 players in the official world golf ranking, with number four, Rory McIlroy, among 10 European Tour pros who opted out to go play the Open de France, which is France's national championship. Also among the missing are Masters winner Danny Willett and number seven ranked player in the world, Henrik Stenson. So talk about the type of winners that this tournament produces. Shane Lowry last year, who was right in the mix at Oakmont, and Hunter Mahan in 2010 are the only Firestone winners in the past 21 years that don't also have a major title to their name. Is that impressive or what? I mean, I didn't realize that, but you're talking about Hunter Mahan, who's a Ryder Cup player, and you're talking about Shane Lowry, who you know, obviously is he won a huge tournament in Europe recently and was in contention at Oakmont. He's a future major winner, I think. So,
I mean, the venue is historic as well. You know, it's produced a lot of great memories, great tournaments.
Right, extremely tree-lined golf course.
Yeah,
up and down, a lot of elevation change. Very tight, small greens overall. Old golf course.
So, it's also interesting to note that international players have claimed the past five WGC titles, not just the Bridgestone, but the World Golf Championships. The last five of them have gone to international players. Now, this is a World Golf Championship, right. So you're going to see more international players, but these are also big-time tournaments that the international players have been dominating the last five of them. So they'll try to make it six at Firestone. The last U.S. victory was Dustin Johnson's win at the Blue Monster at Doral when it was the WGC in 2000.
15.
So, and then also this week going on as a Barracuda Championships in Reno, Nevada with a $3.2 million purse. You can probably watch that on the Golf Channel. But I don't know, guys, who's your pick? It better be a major winner because that tends to be the rule of thumb at Firestone.
Well, they won the Cadillac, right? And Scott won the Cadillac. They won the match play.
Yep.
So those are two good ones to look at. Dustin Johnson is playing. In keeping with our, top of the pack picks, I don't know. I think I'm gonna go with DJ to keep it rolling. I like DJ.
So American finally wins. Yeah,
I think he's gonna get another one.
How about you, Doug? Who do you think?
I would have picked Rory if he was playing. But
sure.
No, I wouldn't have. I think Dustin Johnson, the same thing. Like, same exact logic. Why not? He's hot off the U.S. Open. Got a week off. I think he's a strong pick.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You can't go wrong with that pick. I think he'll definitely be in contention, but I got to stick with my Jason Day rule. If he's playing, I'm picking him. Although he may not be number one in the world for long if he doesn't win this. Dustin Johnson does win this, I don't know what that would do to the rankings, but, DJ with that breakthrough win at Oakmont, anything's possible now, right?
If he doesn't win this week, we're not going to let you pick him at the Open. You got to pick somebody else.
Well, he did win at the Players when I picked him, so I'm probably like one for four. Look, if you 25% picking winners, that's you're set for life.
Sure. Yeah,
true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if Day wins this week, I'll be at that 25% mark, I think, barely.
All right. I might jump on that train with you, too, if he does win. But I like DJ.
He's due. It's got to be bothering him that he didn't win at Oakmont. And, again, he was right there. He was charging on the back nine at Oakmont until he made that double on 17, which was
He's not like he's out of form. He's still.
Right.
His first round, he was out of form, though.
Well,
yeah.
I think he shot 75 or 76.
And
He shot 76.
And he just brings a little something extra too in these big tournaments. He's a big tournament guy, big game hunter. So you might be right, Jim. But we ours is not too bad either.
I'll take Dustin any week at this point.
It's getting that win was such a breakthrough that wonder, can this guy be number one player in the world now? And then, none of us even considered picking Jordan Spieth, who would be given the criteria of the pedigree of the winners. You'd think Jordan Spieth would be a prime candidate to have an American win one of these World Golf Championship events. But just the fact that you guys went with DJ without even mentioning Spieth shows that, the best American player right now, Dustin Johnson.
Jordan Spieth, think about this. Early in the year, that's all we talked about was Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Right? He won an event. Obviously had a great year last year. If he wins the Masters, we might be still talking about Jordan Spieth.
Sure.
But he's really fallen, I don't want to say hard times because he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just maybe not by his standards.
There's a lot to getting over that hole, that number 12 hole.
Well, he did win a tournament since then.
Valspar. Texas he won.
Oh, right. He won.
San Antonio?
He won the Dean and DeLuca.
That's right. So hardly a major, but still a PGA Tour event.
And he contended. Second the week before at Byron Nelson. Right.
That what was shocking, though, is that he wasn't in contention at Oakmont. Right.
No, and he wasn't in contention at the Players either, was he?
So we don't consider him in the top two or three players right now. There's only three of us making picks.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we probably got him in the top five.
Yeah, I think you still have to. So. But this stretch is going to be big for Jordan Spieth because – if he forget about winning, if he's not top five at the British Open or top five at the PGA, then you go into the FedEx Cup playoffs and he's not even a favorite. And it's just amazing how quickly everything can turn in the world of golf.
Two wins. If he doesn't win again, he's got two wins this year. He's going to win several million dollars, and we're going to say he had a bad year.
Yep. Well, that's the standard.
He's top five in the money list, top five in the player of the year voting.
Yeah.
I said, man, awful year for Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. Well, he built those expectations up with his, when you win two majors in the same year.
Right.
And top three or five in the other two.
Yeah.
So he built those up.
He had a great year last year.
Yeah. Well, he had almost a, all-time year last year.
I mean, I've been a fantasy pool, and I didn't pick him first because I thought everything went his way last year. And extremely went his way.
Yeah.
Could
it be duplicated?
Well, 2 years ago, it was Rory.
Yes.
And then, you're right to think that because other than Tiger. I mean, we're looking for the next Tiger. Tiger's the only golfer that has sustained it for multiple years. I guess you could argue that Vijay had a nice 2 or 3 year run.
Right. Had a 9 or 10 year run.
Well, really, yeah, but he was really at the top of his game. He was better than Tiger for a couple years.
Yeah, he was.
It's going to be a great month. That's really what we got. In one month's time, we got a WGC event, we have the British Open, and we have the PGA and the Olympics, all in about a little over a month's time.
And the Canadian Open is...
The Canadian's open there, too. It doesn't get a lot of fanfare, but...
It gets a good field every year. You know?
That's when Jason Day got out last year.
And one that's always usually right after the U.S. Open is the Travelers, and that's always got a good field in it, too. So then you go to Olympics, and you got the John Deere, Wyndham, and then you go into the FedEx Cup. So, I mean, next 2 months is just golf dream.
Except for 2 weeks from now, where the Greenbrier is canceled, unfortunately, due to the flooding.
Did you guys see the pictures?
Yeah, I have one picture here to share.
This is a mess.
Look at that. There's a courtesy tent, and I think that's the 18th green, maybe.
Just wrecking the structures, not even just the grass and the grounds. It's a mess. It's bad.
I probably shouldn't, say this, but I'm wondering why cancel it. Why not move the venue and then, with the money generated from the PGA to any PGA Tour event, donate it to the victims of the flooding? But I suppose that it's difficult to, first of all, just go to another course and say, hey, we need you to co-host a PGA Tour event in two weeks. And then CBS Sports, we need you to... retool everything for this event, and it's probably a lot to ask.
You get those big venues that have their courses in tip-top shape all the time, but the course itself, the greens, the fairways, how tight they have those things on a regular PGA Tour, those guys being able to get it done in 2 weeks, or it's not even 2 weeks, really, it's a week, because they're there on a Monday practice round.
Yeah, it'll be
a week from today.
A week from next Monday, right?
The Bridgestone, GC, and then the 7th is the event. So that Monday, the 4th of July week, is really the day they all show up to start practice rounds, so the 4th. So it's next Monday is the week of the tournament.
What do you think the tour players are going to do with themselves that?
Go to the Bahamas and have some fun.
Or go, a lot of my bet would take a trip over to Great Britain early. I would imagine they'd all get a head start on that.
Maybe there'll probably be a huge uptick in the entries for the Scottish Open, right?
Yeah, that'll be one to watch. A lot bigger field, I would imagine.
So from the world of the PGA to the world of the club, PGA club professionals playing at Turning Stone this week in Verona, New York, on the Golf Channel, and you've got 200-plus club professionals trying to win their national championship, and the top 20 get to go to Baltar Sorrel. So it's high drama on a course. I think I've played at Duño 5 times, so I'm watching this on Golf Channel now, and I know every course or every hole.
Right.
And that's a lot of fun when you're able to watch an event on TV at any level of a course you've played several times. Mm-hmm. Our good friend Eric Lorenzetti, head pro at Turning Stone. Hopefully we can get him on the show via telephone or here in studio to talk about it next week, what it was like hosting that event. The 49th edition of the PGA Professionals Championship, and they are playing at Galuya as well as Aduño, but Golf Channel's only showing coverage from Aduño.
I'd be interested to see how the scores match up between Galuya and Aduño, because Galuya is super hard. Aduño is more of a tour style course where, it's a little more wide open.
Aduño is not difficult. Well, I don't think it's difficult.
Depending on where we tee it up from, you know what I mean? They could be a little farther back. It's going to be
if you're playing the blacks. But I'd like to ask Eric about the course setup, because I don't think that these guys with a event being on Golf Channel are going to stretch it out like it was a PGA Tour event, because they don't want to embarrass their club pros.
Sure.
They want their club pros to have a playable, scoreable golf course where they can, because these guys are parking carts, they have staff, but, these guys are running tournaments at their home course and parking carts and giving lessons. They're not touring and working on their game constantly, like the PGA Tour professionals are. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to Eric, but, you know, Tuesday, tomorrow will be the final round, and it should be high drama with the top 20 finishers getting to play at the PGA Championship at Baltusrol in a few weeks.
That'd be cool.
Isn't it four rounds, Jim? There's a cut after today. Today's the second round.
Oh, so maybe it is Wednesday's the final round?
I think it is Wednesday.
Okay, well, hey, we'll have something to watch Wednesday night then.
I think there's another cut after Tuesday's round as well.
And there's so many golfers, they probably have to have multiple cuts, right?
Right.
So... yeah, I might have had some bad information there. But if you get a chance, turn on the golf channel. It's a beautiful golf course and fun to see these club pros, you know, playing with a lot on the line. So I did remember this week the answer to our trivia question. Arnie won the Masters four times, the British Open twice. He won the U.S. Open once, which is surprising he didn't win more than one Open. Never won the PGA Tour champ. So Arnie Palmer, a legendary golfer, not a winner of the career Grand Slam, which neither is Phil Mickelson.
Hard to believe he didn't get a PGA, though, all those years.
Yeah, well, when he played, it used to be match play, too, for a little while, pretty sure.
Way back, yeah.
Yeah, that used to be a match play event. Right. So not knowing if that had anything to do with it. He did once during a PGA Championship shoot four rounds in the 60s and lose to, I think, Julius Boros, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was surprised because if you had just asked me, name me five players that won the career Grand Slam, I would have said Tiger, Jack, Arnie, probably to start, you know. But no, Arnie didn't. So we'll check the Twitter feed, see who won the hat. So, yeah, hey, just like that, we're almost out of time here. Bridgestone this week, week off, then the British Open. So, Brett, we got something coming up this week, too, on Golf J, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk to the folks at Bion Footwear. Great new product. Not new, like brand new, but we talked about them a little bit when we did our review from the PGA show. Great golf shoes. I wore mine yesterday. No socks. They're light as heck. I mean, they're just awesome shoes. You can wear them on the course. You can wear them, you know, in the office.
Like Crocs, but I wouldn't want to say they're Crocs that gives it a negative connotation.
No.
These things look cool. They come in a lot of wild different colors, but you can hose them down when you're done.
Yeah, I mean, you wipe them down, hold them off. I mean, they don't weigh anything. I mean, they're a couple ounces. It's just, they're onto something there because you slip them right on, no shoelaces. It's you put them on and go. They're great shoes. They're very comfortable.
So who are we talking to from Bion?
We'll talk to one of their VPs of marketing.
Okay. So it'll be fun. We'll talk about the product. I also love, you know, in those opportunities to talk to these guys about how they market their product or how they break into the golf industry with a unique product. And this is another fruit of your labor of going down to the PGA merchandise show in January. That's the first time you were ever exposed to those shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a good group of people. I look forward to talking to them tomorrow. They actually have a partnership with Pixar and Disney. They have a pair of shoes now with the Finding Dory theme. Saw them today on their website. Pretty interesting. We'll have to show those tomorrow on the interview.
Okay, so we'll get that posted tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, I guess that wraps it up here for another edition of the Golf J Podcast. Connect with us online on Twitter at the Golf J and on Instagram at the_GolfJ, search for Golf J on Facebook. All of our episodes in the best of the wide world of golf can be found at golfj.com. We'll be back next Monday night at 9 p.m. Will we? It's a July 4th.
Maybe Tuesday. There's no tournament the following week.
That's true. Well, we may take a week off.
We might have to take a midsummer.
What about our golf tip that you challenged us with?
Well, give me 2 weeks and I'll come up. I think we might have to take a week off.
All right, so next week we take a midsummer break.
And because we're rolling from there. We've got 6 weeks of unbelievable golf tournaments.
And right into the FedEx Cup playoffs. So
we're going to the Bahamas too?
Yeah, why not? Okay. You know, SB 2K16, we can't do that. Why not? Yeah.
So we will be back in 2 weeks. Until then, enjoy your 4th of July holiday weekend and hit them long, not often.